الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وبه نستعين، ونصلي ونسلم على أفضل الخلق أجمعين، نبينا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah bless him and all his household, his companions, all those who have struggled and strived to protect the deen from the very beginning in a way that today it has got to us. And may Allah make us from amongst those who can preserve it and who can teach it to our children and others in a way that inshallah our offspring will be protected and guarded, and in a way that we can be used for the pleasure of the Almighty rather than in the transgression of the Almighty. Ameen. Beloved brothers and sisters, this evening we will require a lot of concentration because we are going through one of the most important incidents that occurred in the history of Islam. And this is the first major battle that took place between the Muslims and those who had oppressed them for so many years. And as we had said, from the moment of revelation, 14 years later to the day is when the Battle of Badr took place. So if we say revelation was on the 17th of Ramadan, we find this, the 17th of Ramadan, the Battle of Badr took place. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us protection. Remember, oppression will not last forever. Those who oppress, one day they will have to pay. And one day they will be within the clutches of the same people whom they have oppressed. And this is the sunnah. This is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect us from oppression. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who can be concerned about our own weaknesses. And if we want to concern in the lives of others, it should be how to uplift them rather than how to drop them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. As we had made mention of, there was the battle of Dhil Ashirah, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had heard that Abu Sufyan, who was one of the leaders of Quraysh, had taken a lot of the wealth of Quraysh, the wealth of the Muslims as well, who had left Makkah al-Mukarramah. There was a time when the kuffar of Quraysh had usurped the wealth of the Muslims and anything that they left behind. They put it together, they made up these caravans, and they went in order to deal with the people in Asham or the Syrian region, which includes Syria, Lebanon, Palestine, that entire region in the northern part of the Arabian Peninsula. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard of this, he went out with many of his companions and they tried to get hold of the caravan of Abu Sufyan. And they only found that they had missed it and it had gone up already. So he returned to Medina Munawwara after some time and he started planning. And the planning was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already informed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will grant you victory. We will grant you one of the two victories. So either you will have the caravan or you will be victorious over Quraysh. This was a promise by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what had happened, amazingly, it was a blessing that that caravan had passed. After some time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to one or two other places with a few of his men, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were not made aware of the fact that an army was being prepared to get the same caravan on its way back. They were not told the details. And this was one of the beauties of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's system and style, which was divine, given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not use to inform the people of the details because it would be very easy for people to find out. If I were to keep it within myself, I know no one knows. The minute I trust a person with it, perhaps many others would know. Well, nowadays we have a sickness. You know, when someone tells you something, when you really want the news to fly, tell them, don't tell anyone. That little statement, don't tell anyone, what it does is,
It makes us itch to tell someone. And when we tell someone, we have a password. What's the password? Don't tell anyone. And then we tell them. And they go and tell, the whole world knows. And everyone is saying, don't tell anyone, but. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. Look at how we have degenerated. The best thing, if you don't want people to know, do not tell anyone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness, and may He grant us a lesson. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to prepare. And as they left Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, they were 313 men, according to the majority of narrations. Some take it a little bit higher to 340, and some drop it to 311. We would stick to the narration that is most common, 313 men. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went with them. Now, one might ask, why is there a discrepancy in the figure? It's very simple. Because when they initially went, there were quite a few. They were perhaps up to 340. But when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got to a place known as Baytul Suqya, just outside Madinatul Munawwara, he stopped and the army camped there for a while. And as we mentioned yesterday, he vetted the people one by one. And he sent people back to Madinah Munawwara who were not fit to join him because they were too young perhaps, or because they had other duties in Madinah, or because he wanted them to fulfill something in Madinatul Munawwara. The example we cited was that of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. He wanted to go out. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, your wife is ill and sick. Ruqayya bint Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She is not well. You go back and you will have a full reward of every one of us that goes out. And on top of that, whatever the outcome is, you will be granted a full status of a person who took part in whatever we are going to take part in. And this is why if you open the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari and you find the names which are written of the people of Badr, he makes mention of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, although physically he was not there. That is because he was told that you will be considered as one of them. Subhanallah. So this we learn a great lesson from, because we need to realize that sometimes there are certain things we have to take care of. At that time, it was not compulsory for them to have come out, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a voluntary announcement, whoever wants to come out with us, we have this something we'd like to do inshallah, and so on. They knew that they went out on escapades, little platoons, little reconnaissance missions, as we made mention of, to gather a little bit of intelligence and so on. So had they known that it was going to end in a full-fledged battle, there would have been nobody or very few in Madinah Munawwara. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan. So these 313, they had left. When they left, they got to a certain point, as we said, and this was a place known as Baytul Suqya, just outside Madinah Munawwara. As they camped there, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent two men. Go and find out how far these people are. Who? The caravan of Abu Sufyan returning from Ash-Sham. So the two who were Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiallahu anhu and Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, these two, they had gone out and they saw this caravan. They sent back a message to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but Abu Sufyan had seen them, and Quraysh was already very wary because they had had previous caravans where they had skirmishes with the Muslims. We made mention of them. This was not the first time. They were worried. They were concerned. And Abu Sufyan was extremely intelligent, a very, very wise young man. Not as old as Abu Jahl and the others. He was wise, very intelligent. What he did is, he understood that there are people spying here on us. And he realized that these people are from Medina. How did he pick it up? Look at the narrations, the intelligence of these people, very sharp people. He looked at the droppings of the camel. And he studied the droppings of the camel. And he saw in it that the fodder that these camels have been fed with is only from Medina. Cannot be from anywhere else. Amazing, because they had in it some of whatever, you know, was only in Medina Munawwara, the produce, the leaves of the palm and so on, which you could not find anywhere else. Intelligent man. And he knew that now there is a problem. So what he did was also, he began the first thing that he started to do was, he told his people, we are very few in number, the best bet is to change our path. We change the road. So instead of going close to Medina and as we are passing, we will, you know, use the normal road,
we rather go on the difficult road and the further road, which is closer to the coast. So by that time, no one will be able to get to us, and we will have conned them, in the sense that they will come for us, they will miss us completely. In the meantime, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was informed that, look, we have seen these people and you can proceed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to proceed. And very importantly, with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we said, only 313 people, after he had vetted whoever needed vetting and so on. And from amongst them, they had only two horsemen. Only two horsemen. And this is something amazing. The two horsemen, Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhu, and Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad radiallahu anhu. These were the two horsemen. Only two. And they had 70 camels with them, which were being made use of. They were sharing the camels. So one would ride, two would walk. Then from the two who walked, one would ride and the other two would walk. And they continued in that way. They shared it so much so that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself also shared the camels. Not that he was the leader, so he just sat on one. No, he sat on it. After some time, he gave the chance to Ali radiallahu anhu, who was with him, and so on. One narration says Abu Lubaba was with them, and he gave the chance to Abu Lubaba, and so on. As for Abu Lubaba al-Ansari, when it came to a place known as Ar-Rawha, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent him back to Medina Munawwara. For what reason? As follows. When they were leaving Medina Munawwara, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam left Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktum, the blind companion radiallahu anhu, in charge of Salah and in charge of Medina. So he was basically responsible for what went on. But as they got to Ar-Rawha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent back Abu Lubaba and said, you will be the Amir in Medina for as long as I am away in this particular escapade or in this journey. So Abu Lubaba al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, he had gone back. In fact, this was Abu Lubaba ibn Abdul Mundhir. That was the one who went back. And he was the one who was responsible in Medina Munawwara during the absence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam on that occasion. Now, as they had gone, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam divided the army into two major divisions. One was the Ansar, headed by Ali radiallahu anhu. He was given a flag. The color of the flag was black. And the other was Sa'd ibn Mu'adh on the other side, who was the leader of the Ansar. So Muhajirin on one side, led by Ali radiallahu anhu, the Ansar on the other side, led by Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, the two of them had black flags. And as for the general flag for all the Muslims together as an entire army, it was given to Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu, and it was a white flag. As you know, we learned yesterday that the flag for the general army was always white. Why the black ones? Was to distinguish between the different battalions within the same army. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a deep understanding. Then on the right side of the army, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam put Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, who was in the front with his horse. He had a horse. And on the left side, he put Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad radiallahu anhu, who also had a horse. So these two horsemen were placed on either side of the army. And with those who were on foot, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam put Qais ibn Abi Sa'sa'ah radiallahu anhu. And the army progressed slowly but surely. They had with them those who would provide food and so on. And they ate from amongst the camels that they had. They would slaughter and so on. This was the norm at the time. And they slowly progressed, subhanallah. In the meantime, you find Abu Sufyan very, very intelligently sent a message to Quraysh. What was the message? You see this caravan. All the leaders of Quraysh had had their loot in it. And they had sent Abu Sufyan with it going up to Ash-Sham. So he sent a message to say, your people's containers are at stake. I'm using today's terminology. You see, today you have a big container coming. And when someone says there's a problem with your container, ask the business people how they cannot sleep. May Allah safeguard us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. Imagine all the wealth of all these people. And what happens? It is now at stake. From who? From Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. But the Muslims were not looters.
They were not people who were oppressors. They were going to get back their rightful property which was usurped from them in Makkah. We need to get this straight. Sometimes on a global level, the non-Muslims make it seem like the Muslims were greedy to fight or they really wanted all the loot and so on. It wasn't the case. These people were persecuted and killed for 14 years. Their wealth was taken from them. Everything usurped. That same wealth, the property and so on, was used now in order for these people to become richer. That wealth belonged to us. Subhanallah. Nothing wrong in going to get it, even if it means to fight in order to get it back. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a deeper understanding. So, the people of Quraysh, they were very, very upset, very angry. Abu Jahl and the likes made an announcement. And the announcement was, come on, let's go out and protect our property, number one. Number two is, we can go out with so much power that we will just destroy Muhammad and his companions all at once. Abu Sufyan already had, because now he sent his spies and he found out figures, he found out where they were, he found out the movements and so on. He knew exactly what was going on, what type of weaponry these people had, where they were, what were, everything he had found out. He had figured it out because the people of Quraysh were warriors. They used to fight anyway. But as for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was not a warrior and a fighter. No, he was made to go out to defend. And that is when he became the best of the lot. Because from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, divine revelation, he knew exactly what to do, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the people of Quraysh came. How many of them? When they left, it is reported they were 1,300 strong men when they left Makkah. The number dwindled, it came down. We'll explain how it came down. But when they left, they were strong men. From amongst them, they say 1,000 horses. And here we only had 2 horses, subhanallah. And they were well equipped. Abu Jahl was so excited. He said, we will go to Badr and we will camp there, because as it is, it's more like a holiday spot there. We're going to take young girls and women. We're going to take alcohol. We'll party there. We'll wait for these people. When they come, we will finish them up. And we will sort them out. They were going to have a party because to them, it was a superpower against a force similar to the Goliath David scenario of many years ago. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a deeper understanding. Dawood alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah says, "Kam min fi'atin qalilatin ghalabat fi'atan kathiratan bi'idhnillah." How many armies that were smaller have overcome armies that were huge by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these people had gone in a great number. When Abu Sufyan was safe, he sent another message to Quraysh as they left. What was the message? Now you people can stay and you people can go back because we are now safe and your property is safe. So it was good enough for them to say, okay, property is safe, let's go back to Makkah. But no, they prepared so much. They had pride, they had this haughtiness. We want to wipe out these Muslims and we must sort them out. And Allah wanted something to come to pass, as we will see. So now Abu Jahl says, no, we are not going to go back. But a few of the people decided, no, we want to go back. There is no point now in fighting. So if we take a look, Banu Zahra, they had came back. They had returned. So the numbers became smaller of the disbelievers. And from the very beginning, Abu Lahab was one of them who could not go. What had happened, all the leaders came out. Abu Jahl came out, Utba ibn Rabi'ah, Shayba ibn Rabi'ah, a lot of these top people, Umayyah ibn Khalaf, all of them came out, the leaders of Quraysh. Because they were so excited, we're going to wipe out the Muslims. And those who could not make it, they sent their family members and kith and kin to come out on their behalf, such as Abu Lahab. He couldn't make it on his own. And Abu Lahab fell very sick at some stage. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a lesson. He was the one who used to throw, astaghfirullah, dirt upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He lost his health. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. Really, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us purity and to make us not from amongst those who blaspheme, to make us not from amongst those who earn the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are fortunate that knowledge is very easy nowadays. It's at our fingertips. It's not difficult to learn as it was many, many years ago. Because today we have access not only to the internet, but to people. If you want someone
to speak to them live. You don't need to travel for 8 days and 16 days. You can pick up a telephone today. You can fly in 8 hours and you can get to anyone on the globe to find out. Still, we are lazy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us earn the knowledge of deen, and may He make us from those who understand and realize through the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Lahab, he didn't come. And there was a clan that did not attend at all, Banu Adi. They just refused. They said, look, we're not interested in fighting from the very beginning. So now Banu Adi was behind in Makkah. Abu Lahab was behind in Makkah, and now Banu Zuhra, they decided to go back after Abu Sufyan sent the second note and the second letter. However, when Quraysh got close to Badr, they were insisting on war. We want to fight these people. Now it's no longer about the caravan. The caravan is gone, it's past, it's safe. Now it's about these people. We want to fight them. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not want to fight. When he came out of Makkah, of Medina Munawwara, he intended the caravan. He did not intend a war. So what he did is, he started asking the opinion of his companions. What do you think? Should we fight these people? And obviously there were two opinions, because those who said we should not fight them, they were only concerned that, look, we are not heavily armed. We came out with just a few weapons. Each one of us has a sword. We have a limited number of bows and arrows. And at the same time, we came for a caravan which had in it just a few people. And now we are going to face the superpower of the time. And we are so small in number. So it's not like they wanted to run away. But they were putting forward a case to say it's not going to be worth it fighting. However, subhanallah, listen to what Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad radiallahu anhu says. He was one of the men on the horse. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, should we go and fight these people or not? He says, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we are not going to give you the answer that Banu Israel gave the Prophet Moses, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when they told him, اذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا إنا هاهنا قاعدون. Go you and your Rabb and go and fight. We are sitting and waiting here. We are going to say we will come with you and we will fight. The decision is yours. You make a decision, we are with you. Subhanallah. So this was the difference. The companions of the Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, they told him, you go and fight. We're waiting here. We don't want to tackle these jababira and these tyrants. You and your Lord, the two of you can go. A'udhu billah. So Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad says, we will not say that. We are going to say, the decision is yours. We are with you. Go, and we are right behind you. Subhanallah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam turns to the Ansar. Why did he turn to the Ansar? It's important to seek the opinion of those who are warriors. Those who are going to fight if we want to engage in a war. You need their opinion. Not like today. Man makes a decision, the people on the ground have no say whatsoever. Half of them are so innocent, they don't even know why. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, there will come a time, la yadri al-qatilu fi ma qatal wala al-maqtulu fi ma qutil. There will come a time when the killer doesn't know why he is killing, and the one who is murdered won't know why he was murdered. Go and ask the armies doing their rounds on the globe. Why are you doing this? They say, I don't know, we don't know. And ask the people who are killed, why are you being killed? They say, we don't know, we don't know. That is a prophecy of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, a time will come when people won't even know why they're doing what they're doing, but they will be spreading corruption across the earth. May Allah safeguard us. As for the Muslims, they sought the opinion of one another. Even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, although the instruction was his, and Allah had already revealed to him, but in order for us all to learn a lesson, as to the importance of seeking opinion, he asked the Muhajirin and he asked the Ansar. As for the Ansar, it was because he had a treaty with them to protect him in Medina. But he didn't have a treaty with them that they would protect him elsewhere outside of Medina Munawwara. It was important that he asked them the question. Look, we are now heading for Badr. Is it possible that you people would like to fight with us? And Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, the head of Al-Aws, we mentioned his name so many times, the one who accepted Islam at the hands of Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiallahu anhu. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you came to us, we believed in you, we believe you're the messenger, we believe you are our leader, we have obeyed your instructions, we will continue obeying your instructions. You tell us what to do, even if you take us and instruct us to dive into the ocean, we will dive straight after you. Subhanallah. Tell us whatever you want. We are with you. So what happened? That gave strength to the rest of them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this in the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how it would have been good if the Muslims had had the caravan, which was the easier one. But Allah says, we wanted something to happen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this so beautifully. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was favored. And Allah says, لِيَقْضِيَ اللَّهُ أَمْرًا كَانَ مَفْعُولًا. All this was in order for Allah to make, to pass that which was meant to come to pass. Subhanallah. Allah says, وَتَوَدُّونَ أَنَّ غَيْرَ ذَاتِ الشَّوْكَةِ تَكُونُ لَكُمْ. The beginning of that verse.
وَإِذْ يَعِدُكُمُ اللَّهُ إِحْدَى الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ أَنَّهَا لَكُمْ وَتَوَدُّونَ أَنَّ غَيْرَ ذَاتِ الشَّوْكَةِ تَكُونُ لَكُمْ وَيُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَنْ يُحِقَّ الْحَقَّ بِكَلِمَاتِهِ وَيَقْطَعَ دَابِرَ الْكَافِرِينَ.
When Allah had promised you that you will definitely be victorious over one of the two armies, you had intended, you had hoped that the easier one be yours, which means those who were with the caravan, small in number. You were hoping that that would have been the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had meant when He promised you one of the two. But Allah says, but Allah intended for you to go for the big one because He wanted to cut off the backs of the disbelievers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Amazing. So this was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Allah says, كَمَا أَخْرَجَكَ رَبُّكَ مِن بَيْتِكَ بِالْحَقِّ وَإِنَّ فَرِيقًا مِّنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَكَارِهُونَ. Just as Allah removed you from your house in Medina to go out, Allah is the one who took them out to go to the battle of Badr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and then you found that some of the believers were not really willing to fight. When they were asked, do you now want to fight or go back? As I told you, there were two opinions. They did not say, we are not willing to fight because they didn't want to obey the instruction. If the instruction came, they would obey it. But they were asked for their opinion, and all they said is, we don't think it's a good idea because we are not as well equipped as the others. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
يُجَادِلُونَكَ فِي الْحَقِّ بَعْدَمَا تَبَيَّنْ كَأَنَّمَا يُسَاقُونَ إِلَى الْمَوْتِ وَهُمْ يَنْظُرُونَ.
They are arguing with you about the truth after it is made clear to them, as though they are being driven to their death whilst they are watching. Look at the words of the Quran. Nobody is driving anyone to their death. But it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There came after that the instruction of Allah to proceed to Badr. Everything was over. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. All of them proceeded. Unlike the disbelievers, when the letter came, some of them went back. With the mu'mineen, when the instruction came, 313 of them, they arrived. And they marched with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he got there, and as we made mention of what happened with Sa'd ibn Mu'adh and al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad radiallahu anhum, giving the backup and making statements that really empowered everyone and made them feel very high in morale. Because obviously when your leaders are saying, let's go, everyone else who is lower down feels very high. But if the leaders were slack and saying, no, we're not really so much for it, you find the little ones, they won't even want to take part. Not to say there were anyone who was actually little, but in comparison to the leaders and the leadership, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he got to a certain point, the army camped. And when the army camped, he took Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And he said, let's go and find out now. We need to know the numbers of these people, what type of weapons they have, and so on. So what happened is, they hadn't even known exactly where Quraysh was. They saw a man, just the two of them. As they moved, they went into the desert on their own. They saw an old Arab Bedouin man. And they told him, where are the Muslims?
Good question. Look at how the question is asked. This is actually now a tactic to get news, to get information. Because now this is a war situation. Where are the Muslims? He says, who are you? So they said, you tell us where the Muslims are, then we tell you who we are. So he says, okay. No, he didn't say, who are you? He said, where are you from? That was the question. Where are you from? So they said, you tell us what we want to know, then we tell you what you want to know. So he says, okay, the Muslims, they left Medina on such and such a day. There were so many of them, and they headed to a certain place. They were seen in this place on this day. And today, as we speak, they should be in this place. And it was so accurate, subhanAllah, so accurate, shocking. So then they said, oh, is that the case? Okay, what about the Meccans? Where are they? The people of Mecca, Quraysh. He said, as for Quraysh, they got the news, and this is how they prepared. They went there, they did this, the army. They should be at this place right now, which was not very far at all. So then they said, he said, right, now where are you from? So the Prophet ﷺ looks at him and says, we are from water. And they walked away. Quickly the two of them went away. Now, we are all from water. We were created from water and dust, which was mixed together, and it became clay. So because he said, where are you from? He says, we are from water. So Rasulullah ﷺ went away immediately so that no further questions would be asked. And he says, which water? The water of Iraq? They didn't answer anything. They just carried on. Because if they waited, a lie would have been necessitated. And if someone lied because of war, it wasn't wrong. It's not wrong in the Sharia. If it's a war, then subhanAllah, you don't need to give your enemy the information. But they knew that if we are going to tell him anything besides this, there's going to be a problem. So subhanAllah, they went away and they found out that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had one powerful habit. He never ever got people worried and excited, not once. He knew the news. He knew how serious everything was. But he always calmed the people down. SubhanAllah. Unlike today, we hear something minute. We blow it up so big and we make like the house is burnt down before we even, SubhanAllah, open our mouths. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a lesson. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِّنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوِ الْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوا بِهِ.
The hypocrites, whenever news of fear or safety, good or bad, comes to them, they quickly broadcast it. The word adha'u, for your information, idha'ah refers to broadcasting. You see, al-idha'ah, it means that which is broadcasted. Radio and television is included in that which is broadcasted. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaking of the hypocrites and their quality, whenever there is some piece of information that is of importance, whether it is to do with security or whether it is to do with goodness, peace, harm or difficulty or goodness, it is quickly broadcasted before it is taken to those with sound knowledge.
وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَىٰ أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِطُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ.
Had they taken that news to the messenger or to those who were in authority, those with sound intellect above them, they would have known how to deal with the news. So this is the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He took this and he went back to his army, and then they started preparing. And as they were preparing, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam speaking to them, giving them information, telling them what they would like to do. We want to go to Badr and we will inshallah settle at a specific place and so on. Inshallah we will get to that in a few moments. But in the meantime, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent more people to find out a little bit more of the information. And from amongst them, he sent Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu and Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhu. One narration says, with them was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. They rushed in the evening to what was known as Ma'u Badr, the place where the water was in Badr. Now, in Badr, there were a few places where there was water. There was water close to where the Muslims were, and water a little bit further away. So, when Ali ibn Abi Talib and his Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas and Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhum went to this water, they found two youngsters filling the containers for Quraysh to take back water. So they got hold of these youngsters and brought them back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amazing. These two youngsters are filling water. They were asked questions. They were trying to evade. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reading salah. When he completed, he said, look, we know, we want you to tell us, where is Quraysh? The two boys looked, young little boys, and they said, well, they're just here on the other side. The other side of the valley. Which means very, very close. And we are here to collect their water. How many are they? So the young boys say, we don't know how many they are. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even more intelligent than Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan had to check the droppings of the camel. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, how many camels do they slaughter a day for food? So they said, one day 9, one day 10. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looks at his companions and says, that means they are between 900 and 1,000. Subhanallah. Look at the figure. Because 100 people eat from one camel. That's the average. So if they have 9 one day, 10 the other day, perhaps they are 950 to 1,000. 1,000 men. Look at the intelligence. He understood immediately. Then he asked them, and who from amongst Quraysh is there? They said, all the big boys, meaning all the leaders of Quraysh are there. Abu Jahl is there, Umayyah bin Khalaf is there, Utbah ibn Rabi'ah is there. Subhanallah. I would say, wow, all the names are there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. Imagine, now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks at his companions and he says, this is Quraysh. Allah has brought them to you with their leaders. They have come all the way here. The leaders have come. These are the same people who harmed us. These are the same people who attacked us. These are the same people who murdered from amongst us. These are the ones who usurped our wealth. Now, when we say these type of things, it boils the blood. It makes people want to go and get back whatever was there. Subhanallah. Imagine a man who has harassed you for years on end, and one day it's just you and him, and you can see that you're much more muscular than he is. You look at him, he's trying to run away. What do? You're so happy that at least he's so close. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. With that, we need to remember, without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing was going to happen, because 313 on one hand and almost 1,000, perhaps more than 1,000 strong on the other. And they were well equipped. The difficulty was, they were having a ball of a time in Badr. Those mushriks, what were they doing? Every time, Abu Jahl said, we will camp there for 3 nights. That's what he said. He says, we'll enjoy. We'll take our women. They took women with lots of alcohol, drinking, dancing, enjoying. Is that what war is all about? If you take a look at Shaytan, Shaytan gets hold of people exactly how he got hold of the people in the past. Wine and women, in the sense that they want people dancing around them, they want to see, they want to commit adultery, they want to drink alcohol and so on. May Allah safeguard us, really. From that time, it resulted in their failure. And to this day, anyone who has those habits, they can never ever lead a happy life, whether they are Muslim or non-Muslim. If a person is into wine and women and so on, their life is a mess. It will have to be a mess. And if it is not yet a mess, it's going to be a mess. So that is something that is a plan from the very beginning of Shaytan in order to lead us astray. May Allah protect us, and may He protect our families, our brothers and sisters, and may He protect our children as well. So this was Abu Jahl, and what he did was something shocking. Drinking, and he was loud mouth, very loud, saying statements. Very, very bad statements. We'll come to one of them in a few moments. But in the meantime, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he realized how close these people were, he issued an instruction to his companions. What was the instruction? Cut off all the bells from the necks of the camels. All the bells were cut off. Why? Very simple. If the bells are on the necks of the camels, like nowadays you find bells on the necks of some of the cattle so that they are not lost. From a distance you can hear camel. People would be able to know, there's the camels. This is where it is. They will know direction. In this way, the ropes are cut. No one knows which direction it is in. No one knows how many there are, because you can't hear the bells ringing and so on. Number one. Number two is, he told his companions, we will proceed, we will progress. He did not inform them exactly where they will proceed and progress. We said this at the beginning and we're repeating it now, because this happened many times. He only released at every level how much they needed to know. That's all. So at a certain point, okay, we're going there. When they get there, we are now going there. When they get there, we are now going there. Subhanallah. So that news didn't fly and news didn't go to the others and to the enemy, and so that the enemy would not be able to have information and intelligence gathered against the Muslims. And thereafter, the Muslims decided, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the following day, decided that let us all go and we will stop at the water of Badr, the closest water that we have. The closest water, Badr. Let's stop there so that we can have water whilst the war is going on. And so when they got there, subhanallah, there was a sahabi known as Al-Habbab ibn al-Mundhir, radiyallahu anhu. He looks at the messenger. This man was intelligent. He had taken part in some wars in the past. He looks at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have camped the army here. This is the close water to us. There is another water further down. Is it revelation from Allah, an instruction that we cannot go against, that you have made us camp here with? Or is it just an opinion that can be changed, in the sense that could we have a say? Could we suggest something?" So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "No, it is not a must that we have to be here. We've just camped here." So he says, "In that case, I have an opinion." "What is your opinion?" "Oh Habbab, my opinion is, let us go to the other water. So we will have this water as well as the other water, and Quraysh will have no water. So when they come in, they will have no water at all. Another thing is, the soil here is not fit for our horses. In case it rains, what will happen? The horses will actually slip. If we go further up there, there is a little bit of sand. If it rains or there is water and so on, we will be able to have the horses very steady on the ground." So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately agreed with this opinion, and he took the entire army and told them, "Let's get there." And so they proceeded to the next water, and now they had control of all the water in Badr. So there was no ways that Quraysh would get water. And then, subhanallah, on one hand, the eve of the battle, the mushriks are busy dancing, they're busy enjoying, they're busy drinking, and they are certain that they're going to win because they know how much power they have. They don't have a doubt. Abu Jahl is convinced that tomorrow we're going to win. Convinced. And they don't have a doubt. So they're really enjoying drinking so much. Now you and I know that when there is a person who has drunk so much, the following morning he gets up with half an eye this way, that way, probably looking at you with one eye and so on, and he sees two, three people, not realizing exactly which one is the real person and which one is just the double because of the eye. This happens. I don't know, in my part of the world they call it babalas. I don't know what they call it here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So a person comes and these people were drinking. That same drink was one of the reasons of their downfall, and it was a means that Allah had chosen for their downfall, subhanallah. And in the meantime, the Muslims, they were concerned. They were making dua. They were engaged in prayer. They were really at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ya Rasulullah, let us build for you a headquarters here." So they built at one place. It is known as Al-Arish. Up to today, if you go to Badr, there is a masjid built on that location known as Masjid Al-Arish. That is where the command center was. They had just built a little structure. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sit inside there. And when the war began, he came out, obviously. But this was just for the time that they had camped in Badr. And they had camped for several days. Even after the battle, they camped for another 3 days. So that place, Al-Arish, was built in the meantime very quickly. See, the army gets together, they built this place beautifully, mashallah. And Sa'd ibn Mu'adh was standing out there with some of his men, making sure no one goes in. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were in this Arish, this little command center. And in the meantime, the Muslims are given a gift by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen to what Allah says. إِذْ يُغَشِّيكُمُ النُّعَاسَ أَمَنَةً مِّنْهُ وَيُنَزِّلُ عَلَيْكُم مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً لِيُطَهِّرَكُمْ بِهِ وَيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ رِجْزَ الشَّيْطَانِ وَلِيَرْبِطَ عَلَى قُلُوبِكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتَ بِهِ الْأَقْدَامِ. Allah says, remember the time that the yawning overtook you. They actually fell off to sleep. Imagine, people are waiting, the enemy is there. Who would sleep? People would be wide awake, waiting to say, the following morning we're going to fight. And here you have sleep. Everybody slept. The Muslims had a good sleep, mashallah. Allah says, we blessed you with a good sleep. And above that, we caused the rain to fall, so much so that the following morning the valley had water in it. What happened? That Sahabi Al-Habbab ibn al-Mundhir, he was correct. The soil, the sand was now good enough for the horses to tread over, whereas it had been quicksand the previous day. But now that it was all wet, it was beautiful because the horses could move on it. And Quraysh were in a place where they suffered in the night. Their horses couldn't even move because of the water. The opposite, subhanallah. And they didn't have water to drink. And on this side it rained, subhanallah. And this is Allah's gift. And Allah says, we sent you the water for it to be a cleansing for you. And for the whispers of the devil to go. People became very, very energetic. And they were looking forward to the next day because of the rain. Rain freshens you up, mashallah. And at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and in order for you to be steadfast. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. So this was a gift that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given. Another thing, Allah showed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a dream. In his dream, Allah says, إِذْ يُرِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنَامِكَ قَلِيلًا. We showed their number to you in your dream as very little. So in the dream, Allah showed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the number of the mushriks, very, very little. Very little. Now one might say the dreams of the prophets are all true. So why is it that he saw them little when they were so big? No. Compared to the iman that was on one side, they were nil on the other side. Allahu Akbar. They were nothing. So it's not the figures. It is actually the strength given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to iman. So Allah showed him that they are very, very little. وَلَوْ أَرَاكَهُمْ كَثِيرًا لَفَشِلْتُمْ وَلَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ سَلَّمْ. Allah says, if we had showed you that they were so large in number, perhaps there would have been a dispute. Perhaps you may not have wanted to fight them and so on. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved you. So this was a dream that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had that eve. And then, subhanallah, on the other hand, one man also saw a dream. His name was Juhaym ibn Salt. He was from amongst the mushriks, one of those people of Abu Jahl. He had a dream. That dream was also a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He dreamt that a man came to him on a horse and with a little camel of his. And he says, such and such a person is already killed. Such a person is killed. Such a person is murdered. Such a person is murdered. Who were the names? Abu Jahl, Umayyah ibn Khalaf, Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. These people are already murdered. So this man goes to Abu Jahl and he tells him, hey, I saw a dream. And in the dream, I saw that this man comes and tells me, you are murdered. The other one is executed. Umayyah ibn Khalaf is executed. Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. And he took the names. Abu Jahl began to laugh. Obviously half drunk. The man doesn't know what he's saying. And he starts laughing. He says, who do you think you are? Tomorrow we will show you who's going to win. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Wallahi, alcohol is something we should stay very, very far from. Very far. It is totally prohibited. It is known as one of the root causes of most other ill. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. So the following day, subhanallah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got the people ready. And he started advising them. He read for them verses. He warned them. He gave them lots of advice. And he told them to be disciplined in war and to listen to the instructions of the commander, who was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, we have been taught to make sufuf.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ صَفَّا كَأَنَّهُ بُنْيَانٌ مَرْصُوصٌ.
Allah loves those whom, when they are on the battlefield and they are fighting, they are in rows. Rows like the rows of Salah, subhanallah. So there was a row. The first row was made of those who were the archers, those who would actually use their bows and arrows, their arrows and spears to attack. And he said, we don't have that many spears, so don't waste them. And at the same time, you wait until they come right to us. When they are very close to us, then you hit them with the spears. And the others, the next row was those with swords. He said, as for you, don't remove your swords until they are right in your midst. Then you take your swords out. Subhanallah. And they didn't have the question of horsemen because there were only two. And they were told, instructed very carefully by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what had happened is, as the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this dua, Allah responded his dua. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, oh Allah, help us, assist us. You promised us assistance. We are asking you for help, ya Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ يُوحِي رَبُّكَ إِلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ أَنِّي مَعَكُمْ. In fact, there is a verse slightly before that where Allah says, إِذْ تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ أَنِّي مُمِدُّكُمْ بِأَلْفٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُرْدِفِينَ. Remember when you were seeking the help of Allah and Allah responded you saying, we are sending you 1,000 angels to help you. The following day, or when the battle was about to commence, in fact, the verses came down. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are sending you, how would you like it if we sent you 3,000 angels? And then he says, we are sending you 5,000 angels if you fear Allah, and so on. And wallahi, if you look at Sahih al-Bukhari, you open the book, there is a bab. A bab meaning a chapter. The chapter is named the chapter of the participation of the angels in the battle of Badr. And the ahadith, there are a few ahadith that are made mention of. So the angels also took part in this battle of Badr. Now, at that time, the battles used to always commence with a duel. You know, people who would have a sword fight. So three of the people of Quraysh came out. When Quraysh had come in, Quraysh walked to a specific spot. The Muslims walked to a specific spot and they were all in lines. Quraysh was haphazard. First time in the history they are witnessing people drawing lines, you know, making lines, and people all lined up. Quraysh was surprised. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went with his spear, straightening the safs, straight like the saf of Salah. The rows were made straight. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then selected three people to go out to face the three whom Quraysh had picked up. Whom did they pick up? They picked up Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, Shayba ibn Rabi'ah, and Al-Walid ibn Utbah. Those three had come up. Al-Walid was a youngster. The other two were older people. On this side, Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib came out. And we have Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu who came out, and Ubaidah ibn al-Harith radiallahu anhu who came out. And subhanallah, it started off with a few words, and then these, the armies, the two of them watch. They wait for the duel to complete and then they all start fighting. So what happened as the duel commenced, Hamza radiallahu anhu in no time put an end to Shayba ibn Rabi'ah. And Ali radiallahu anhu in no time executed Al-Walid. And as for Ubaidah ibn al-Harith, Utbah ibn Rabi'ah gave him a difficult time and struck him, but he was struck as well. And then Hamza and Ali radiallahu anhu came to his assistance and this man was executed as well. Quraysh was shocked. They were shocked. Their leaders were gone. Some of them. And as they were shocked, you now find that the two armies began. In fact, Quraysh began to run towards the Muslims. The Muslims were just waiting exactly where they were. When they got to a specific point, they were instructed to remove their spears and arrows. They removed them. Then they were instructed to fire. When they fired, so many of Quraysh were already gone. Subhanallah. Just by that. And as they went, the horsemen of Quraysh began to come. They fired again. A lot of the horses dropped. And thereafter, subhanallah, the war began. And the greatest loss of the kuffar of Quraysh, it is shocking. The leaders of Quraysh, one by one, they were executed by the same people whom they had troubled and harassed over time. There are some beautiful incidents of how some young boys took part in this war and they had a very, very big impact and effect. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. Inshallah, tomorrow we will continue. We leave you in that suspense. By the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tomorrow we will continue with the rest of the battle. Until then, we say wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah bihamdih. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu.